There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. Getting techie.
Hello, welcome back.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good to see you. You've had this horrible flu as well, haven't you?
Yes, I've had a horrible flu and I wasn't able to enjoy my weekend. But I guess what?
Awful.
I was able to prepare for today's show.
Excellent.
And you've just been introduced as the lovely Hassan.
There you go.
Yeah, friendly neighborhood tech guy.
Friendly neighborhood tech
guy.
There we go. I love that.
Tech in the outdoors. That's what we're talking today.
Yes.
And I quite actually, now that I know you're ill, I can understand where this is coming from. Are you about to tell us that less is more? Because if so, I'm about to fall off my seat.
No. I have said that often, right? But I do think in terms of enjoying the outdoors, I find that the longer and harder you work to see something or to seek the experience, the more beautiful it is. So I do caution people often that with tech, you know, it's about being disciplined and limiting tech to necessities. And that will improve one's outdoor experience. I just don't like it for tech for tech's sake, right? And really, I want to talk about today three particular things that I enjoy. And three is not enough. We could probably do many, many hours on this. But three particular things that I think are unique and fun when you want to think about tech and outdoors. The last one being something interesting.
Okay, where are we going to start?
Well, the first thing is me and coffee, of course, go a long way. So the coffee geek inside of me, of course, decided we have to be able to address the question of how do you get your morning shot?
What do we currently do when we go camping? When was the last time you went camping, Mark?
Long time ago. I think it was up on Jebel Ali Beach before I was married, I think. Maybe 20-odd years ago.
When you go fishing, do you somehow have some coffee, though?
No, I'll have a couple before I set off.
Okay.
So here's the thing. How many of you go camping for more than a day?
Yeah, no, I'm kind of, I do a night and then I'm back.
Right. A lot of people do that. Now, I'm, you know, of the minority that will go out for the entirety of the weekend.
We always need coffee. I can't go morning without coffee.
Exactly.
But we take one of those, and I don't know what you call them, but I think they're like little Italian contraptions where you take the bottom off and you put water in and then you screw the top on, and in between the water and the top is the coffee. And then you stick it on the fire and somehow through magic, the water comes up through the bottom, through the coffee, and then the top is the coffee in the end.
But you're getting coffee, not your espresso.
What's the difference?
Oh, man, there's a lot of difference between the different types of
coffee. Sounds like the quality.
Yeah, are you drinking dirt or are you drinking real coffee?
No, it's real coffee. It's good. Yeah, it's like proper ground coffee. No, you know these Italian things I'm talking about.
Yeah. So me being a fanatic of espressos, you know, the pure, really bitter shot right in the morning, I like my double shot espresso when I wake up and then one more just to kick the morning off. For me, having a proper espresso machine that I can take around with me, can you imagine being able to carry one of those Starbucks machines around when you're camping?
I don't like those espresso machines.
Isn't it slightly bulky to go in your backpack?
Right? You need to be able to carry it in a suitcase. But no, this device is just about 17 centimeters high. It just weighs less than half a kilo. It's about 350 grams. So that gives you a sense of the size and the mass. It's called the Mini Presso. Now, I actually have this. There are a lot of other, you know, mobile Mini Presso devices out there.
Yeah.
This particular one that I have is from Wakako. It's a mini espresso that has been designed to be the smallest, lightest, and most versatile handheld espresso machine. I think it's really intuitive to operate and it's very useful. It works with all sorts of variety of capsules. Nowadays, I'm getting my friends hooked on this. So every time I go camping, a lot of my friends will bring their favorite, you know, blends of coffee, and they'll be like, can we squeeze this out of the mini espresso?
Guys, I've got to just jump in here because I don't know if you know this. You probably don't know this. You know how we talk about straws all the time?
Drinking straws.
Yeah. They've got to go. They are polluting the environment. They're awful.
Yes.
They are the enemy right now. Do you know who the second enemy is?
Coffee capsules.
Yeah. Did you know that it takes 500 years to break down a coffee capsule? They're made from a combination of plastic and aluminium.
Yeah. Mm. I'm actually trying to figure out, you know, with my obsessive compulsive disorders, how to deal with that. And I'm trying to get
the little Italian coffee maker thing.
Yeah,
it's
so
brilliant.
This thing actually has, I mean, the picture that you're seeing here is so that it caters to my particular capsules. But I am figuring out, and they do have a machine. Lots of them have machines which basically allow you to be able to just, churn out your own coffee beans and then actually put the powder into the actual top. And then
that's
got to
be
that
the
out.
Way forward,
that
Jams.
Is really the way forward, yes. So this, I think, for coffee lovers or people who are out camping into the wilderness or even, you know, in our locality, out for more than a day or two.
You got to use the capsules in this one, though.
No, no, no. This machine comes with the ability to be able to do either capsules or regular powder.
I'm back in the game.
There you go.
Okay.
And it's not too heavy?
It's not too heavy at all. It comes in a nice mobile pouch. You could just, you know, clean it out and dry it up and basically take it to go.
Have we talked prices yet?
Prices. When I bought it, this was, well, how much would you pay for this?
Well, I'll think about how much I would pay for a coffee and then how many times I'm going to use it.
But you're not paying for the coffee. You're taking the machine here.
Yeah, I know. But I'm thinking if I was to buy a coffee.
Yeah. How often would you take it camping? Yeah, of course, that's important. Good point.
Maybe 150 dirhams.
Okay.
No, I think it'd be more than that. I'm going to go 350.
It's 220 when I bought it. 220 dirhams.
How many times have you used it?
Every time I go camping, it's one of the essentials. And I go camping almost every alternative weekend.
Really?
And it just makes one coffee.
No. You can just plug it in, keep going again. I mean, right now, as I said, my friends are pretty hooked with this. So every time we go out and it's morning or whenever everybody wants a coffee, Shumps, bring out your device.
I bet you're regretting having
it. No, I love it. It's really fast. It's really easy. And as I said, it's actually quite fun to use. You actually work for that coffee. And I like that. You know, you're in the outdoors. I want to be working for whatever experience. When I'm cooking my meals, I want to be able to make it a little bit more extra difficult.
So it's still like making a fire, but you got matches.
So exactly. If you remember, I've mentioned this in past times I've been on the radio. I don't like the, you know, lighter fluid and then making a fire. Every time I go out, sometimes when the kids are out, actually, whenever we go out with families, I'm called Marshmallow Uncle because I like to be able to do the fires, bring the kids out, show them how to roast the marshmallow properly. Mm. But as the tech guy, I'm anti-tech when we go out camping. I'll tell them we have to go out, we have to find the shrubs, the driest ones possible. We have to know how to build the stack of wood so that they build a fire properly.
And then someone shouts, "Can I have me espresso, Shams?" Yep,
got me gadget.
What was your top tip for going camping? Here in the UAE.
In the top tip or top location?
Yeah, top location.
Top location, look, I would say to everybody, the majority of the crowd, there's so many beautiful locations in UAE that you could go to. In Dubai, in Abu Dhabi, and then when you go to Hatta, there's even more, Ras Al Khaimah. But if you want to start out and you're based in Dubai, people listening on the radio, Kudra. Just head out to Kudra.
Yeah,
Kudra is...
Not allowed to camp out there anymore.
I'm not saying go out and camp. If you want a desert experience, go out there. If you're not allowed to camp there, you can go to Fossil Rock. That's also a great location. Head out there. If you can't, Fossil Rock a little bit further out. Definitely, if you can't go to Kudra, if you're hearing about this, I can't camp there. I don't know if I should. Just head out to Fossil Rock. Easy peasy.
Cool.
And next on your list this week. Now, I've been looking at these, and I've got some questions for you. Ultra mobile pocket projectors.
This one's tangential to what I was saying.
What?
I think this is a complete waste of time.
Really?
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
What do you need a projector for when you're out camping?
A lot of people.
Films.
You can do that on your iPad.
But that's the point, right? We often do this. We'll go out, and we'll put up a blanket, and just throw up a movie. And the kids love it, sitting outdoors.
It's amazing.
Yeah, think about it. I always think back when I was a kid, how often we used to just be able to go and sleep on the top of the roof. Our kids just don't do that. Or maybe because we live in apartments and everything nowadays. But I regret.
It's pretty high, isn't it, to let them out there on that roof.
And I regret that our kids don't have that opportunity, the gardens, to be able to just sit outside, sleep outside, spend the time outside. I remember we used to hear tales by the campfire. So really, this was a great alternative, a mix of both worlds. Slap up a movie, but not on their iPads, on a big, beautiful screen. And in our cases, a lot of times when there's a big game on, the guys will basically go out and watch it in the desert. But we want to be able to have a big screen. So we'll just slap up a projector. Now, these are really good. And a lot of people are doing this, believe it or not. Ultra mobile pocket projectors. Now, a lot of people also use it for business, but I'm focusing on outdoors and tech and travel. So ultra mobile projectors, these are a big favorite for people, not just for business. So some folks actually carry this around to the desert. They're small enough to carry around and show a 50-inch plus image on a wall or a blanket, for that matter.
All right, which one are you saying is the best one? Because this is a minefield. I've been lost for a good couple of days looking at projectors online.
But I'm biased slightly, but I'm gonna go ahead and say, when you look at, I've shared some reviews with you, and this one comes out pretty high. It's the Dell M115 HD. It's about 4 inches wide and only 4 inches long. You see the picture, it'll fit on your palm.
The big grumble that I always see from reviews of projectors, these pocket projectors, is the sound. Everyone says the sound's rubbish. So if you've got a big screen, how do you get a good sound from a pocket projector?
Remember, the projector is doing the projecting, right? I mean, obviously, if you're in an open space environment, you're not going to expect the projector to be doing the sound.
See,
I actually do have sound systems
that
I'll bring along with me. And even those are tiny. You just have to get one of those Bose speakers, for example.
So this is not a one thing fits all. You got to buy extras.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend. Especially if we're talking outdoors, I would not recommend you to expect the ultra mobile, smaller and smaller it gets, projector to be able to do greater and greater sound. So the
Dell M115HD, what are we going to get for that? Is that going to be a one that you can take into the desert and watch a movie on?
I have this one, and I use it a lot, and it's very versatile, I would say. It works. I mean, think about it. I'm taking this out in the desert. I use it regularly, and it's still serving me well. I've had it for a few years now.
How much does it cost?
When I got it, it was really early days, and it had just come out, and I paid 1,500 dirhams for it.
So it's going to be a lot cheaper now.
I think so, yeah. And there's a lot of competition now out in the market. I mean, I have other recommendations, but this one has served me well. And after my friends have seen this out in the desert, they've also sort of said, yeah, let me get myself.
Let me just ask how it works. Would I plug my iPad into that? Or
Yeah. It's just like a regular standard projector. You'd plug in your machine, and it'll basically just start to project. This device actually is really cool. It allows you to be able to just plug in a USB. So if your content is on the USB, you can just get it to go from there.
And can it be on the USB in any format?
Well, there are only certain formats, but it is very versatile. It can play all sorts of formats, yeah.
Okay, and now just quickly, we got to get on to tents.
Yeah, I thought, you know, it's definitely important to talk about this. Tents, you know, how can you not talk about tents? But then a lot of people say, how tech is tents? And the thing is that, you know, tents, these are getting really so innovative and gadgety nowadays.
I don't think they should be, though. For me, going camping and putting a tent up as a kid, that's a big lesson in life.
Yeah, it's pulling it down, though. That's a bit of a pain.
It's both. Packing it up and putting it up. It could be difficult. And I guess I'm on the borderline. I think you're right. I'm siding with you on this, Steph. Now, when you talk about tents these days, you'll end up talking inflatable. Pretty much every manufacturer has jumped on the bandwagon and created a line of tents that use integrated inflatable beams instead of the regular poles. And I'm not leaning towards that direction yet.
Yeah.
Mark is laughing.
Beams. I think that's really funny.
Inflatable beams. I think, you know, one hole inside these beams and that's it, you're done. Now, I'm not of the camp where you're literally having to put everything together. So I do like the ones, for example, that I have.
I was in the Girl Guides and I got some ribbons to put my tent up properly.
I was in an expedition when I was in my mid-teens, out in Oman. Now, this was a rugged, this is for the International Award, actually. And we got properly lost. It was the first time ever the International Award was happening in the Gulf. We went out and we had proper tents and everything to carry and then put up every day. This was like a 4-day trek for the Gold Award for International Awards, the Duke of Edinburgh Award. And I remember that was a lot of fun. But when you're thinking about when you're taking your kids out, especially nowadays with the, you know, goldfish levels of attention spans that our kids have.
No, that's why they've got goldfish levels of attention spans.
But I'm at the middle ground. This is a good tent.
They need to bend their tent pegs. They need to learn what happens if you bend all of your tent pegs.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll tell you why those are good things. Because if you're out for a proper trek and you have one of those Insta tents or these inflatable ones with these too much gadgets, when they break, you have no option. You can't do anything about it. I like the tents exactly for the same reason, Steph, that you're talking about, where if you do have a few rods and one of them breaks, it's pretty easy to actually, you know, shimmy up something and get it standing again with a twig or a branch or something. And I liked doing that. When my tent poles would break, I'd be like, cool, now I have to MacGyver this thing.
That's why you got the award, Shams.
There we go. I got the silver, but anyway.
So quick fix tents, rather, will cost about 700 dirhams.
So the one that I have is actually not the inflatable ones. I have a Coleman instant tent for 6 persons. It is called an instant tent, but that does mean that the rods are sort of, you know, they have those elastic stuff inside of them where they flip in together properly, but you do have to stand it up and build it up. So my kids actually enjoy that. It's a good beginner's tent. That cost me about 700. Coleman usually does make really good tents. So about 700 dirhams, and there you go.
And we're going to ask hypothetically when we come back, will it take off? And we're sticking with a new kind of tent, one that I don't think I'd be able to get to sleep in. Think waterbeds in the 80s. It's a weird feeling, isn't it?
Yes.
Getting Turkey.
Moving on with the show, we're at that point where we have to ask, will it take off? So we've just talked about tents that pretty much put themselves up for you. Moving on to the idea of a completely different kind of a tent to be used on a very different surface. So what have you got for us?
So this is called the floating tent. I saw this pop up really last year, and it got a lot of people's attention. Even Tech Insiders, the video that I shared was talking about it. That really got me sort of interested in it. So it's a floating tent. Think of a waterbed. The whole concept that we were talking about, the inflatable beams on top of a sleeping bed, and their idea is you literally just sort of inflate it, and in you go, and you could just let it go on the river or water surface that you're sitting on and enjoy the water and even fall asleep while you're on it. And I'm just thinking, I would not want to be sitting in this thing.
No, I'm a safety first kind of person. I only ever go into situations thinking of the worst possible scenario. And for me, the minute I zip that up, I'm just thinking it's going to sink and then I'm going to be trapped in a zipped up tent underwater.
Yeah, exactly. And I also believe that two things I would say. Well, number one, if you're exploring a body of water, you probably want to be awake doing that. You do, and you want to be able to see everything that you're seeing.
What if you were on a lake, though?
Yeah, on a lake. And I'll tell you, their other pitch that this company that's launching this has is also not just for leisure, though they make the whole video and everything look so leisurely. It's all about leisure. But at the end, they slip in the word that, hey, it's great for emergency rescue and disaster situations, you know, emergency relief. Okay, fine. You know, you could leverage that for, you know, emergency relief situations. But they're pitching it for, you know, hey, buy this for when you want to be able to take this out camping and just go float on a river or body of water. Even if it was a lake, you know, as you said, Mark, I mean, where would you end up when you wake up?
Yeah, you wake up, you know, might be on a different lake.
Also, though, it could possibly take off because it's not tied into the ground or anything, is it? So if it was really windy,
it could literally take off.
You get caught in the current or something.
In a tree? Who knows?
Yeah, you could wake up and open your eyes and there's a waterfall in front of you just about to go over the edge of it.
I think there might be something quite romantic about doing this. If the door was open... if the door was open and I was hooked to a tree and I was on a lake, then that could be quite romantic, right?
Yeah, except as Mark said, you know, it's a waterfall that you're facing in a few
on a
moments.
Lake. Yeah. There's no waterfall in my fantasy.
Not on a lake, yes. Yeah, not on a lake. Maybe, by the way, you hit on something. Maybe a lake would be fine, like a small, tiny lake.
I'm thinking this is the next step from glamping. You know, we go and stay in yurts and we stay in the little pods in snow where you've got the see-through ceiling and you can see the stars above. Yeah. Maybe this is just an extension of that and it would be quite nice to float on the water.
So do we think it's going to take off?
I think it's going to take off.
Mm. Float on the water.
Hold on. But we haven't looked at cost.
No.
Oh, go on.
Okay, so let's do this. Do you think it's going to take off and how much would you pay for it?
If I was to buy one myself, I would pay about the same as a tent that doesn't float on the water. I'm not getting any pegs, am I? So, about 700 dirhams.
700 dirhams, I'm not going with it. I don't think it's going to float in any way, shape, or form. And I don't think I'd pay 70 dirhams for it.
Ooh,
that's a hard criticism. I would not get on this. I think as a product, it might take off for all sorts of different reasons, but not to a great glorified position of the Coleman tents and regular tents. It costs 5,500 dirhams.
What?
Yes.
Whoa. Well, that seems very expensive.
Definitely sinking.
I can understand the pitch, though. You know, it's very durable. It's very versatile. The material is extremely great. Mark's already like, you know,
forget it. No, I'm out of the shop.
Okay. Oh, well, that was our Will It Take Off this week. And lastly, before we let you go, we've got the Dell Tell. Now, what are the techie people talking about in the back office at Dell?
At the back office at Dell, you know, we're talking heavily when it comes to travel, especially about getting smart. So we're talking a lot
about... Are you talking about Mark?
We're talking about Mark, exactly. We all want to be like Mark. But when you think about smart, you know, in today's world, especially in Dubai living, and there's so much opportunity for people to be able to leverage smart technologies. And I've covered a lot of smart technologies on this show, right? Smart luggage, smart wallets, and all that. I've also covered in this show, and it is sort of anti-travel, but it is still relevant to the folks who are traveling and tech. Smart devices at home to be able to monitor your home. home, when you're away, to be able to control your home, water your plants and all that sort of stuff. We're talking very much about, you know, digital transformation and transformation when it comes to travel and life itself, especially in a location like Dubai. So think smart.
Think smart, people. Del, thank you so much. Shams, thank you so much. We'll see you again in a fortnight.
Thanks a lot, guys. See you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Getting Techie.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.